You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me Dr. Quentin Henning today to talk about Irving Resources. It's a company for which he serves as a member of the board and also as a technical advisor. The shares trading earlier today, I haven't looked in the last couple of hours, but trading it, it's just right around $2 in Canadian money, 61.9 million shares, giving it a market cap of over 125 million in Canadian money. It, you know, traded at a high of $4.20 in Canadian money last summer. So it's trading at about half of where it was then. Other than the fact that the gold shares and gold in general has fallen a bit since then, as we just heard from Michael, probably turning around, heading back north now. But the fact that nothing adverse has taken place with the company, as far as I know. For those of you who may not be familiar with the projects Irving is working on, it is important to understand that the company's business model is quite unique in that the veins that host gold in near vertical structures have a very high silica content, which means that the abundance of smelters in Japan are eager to gain that material to use in recovery of base metals. As such, it will be actually pay Irving. These smelters will actually pay Irving. Not just for the gold that is recovered, but also for the silica host rock that surrounds the gold that is sent off to the smelters. What that means is that Irving's business model does not require the construction of costly mills. In fact, keep the basic information. I think it's very important to keep that in mind, and the fact that they would get paid for the silica content, the host rock, along with the gold, means that it really, and not have to spend money on a mill, means that it's a potentially very high margin business model. So that's one of the things that has really attracted me to the story. And for an update on all that's going on, we're very grateful to Quentin for joining us today. Thanks for coming back again, Quentin.
Thank you, Jay. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, it is always good. Now, I wanted, before we get into an update on the exploration efforts of Irving, you just recently raised $6 million through the sale of, I think, 3.5 million shares or so to Newmont, you know, one of the world's largest gold miners, and so obviously a very worthy relationship you have there. But you just talk to us a little bit about your relationship with Newmont and what that might mean, in addition to the money they throw into the pot, what that might mean for Irving going forward.
Yeah, certainly. Look, this is actually the third tranche of funding that Newmont's put into Irving. At present, I think they have just over 14% of the shares outstanding. It really is a sign of support. They know the project very well. Obviously, we work with them on various aspects, various technical aspects, including the geophysics and drill targeting and so forth. But they know that Japan is, you know, very well endowed with epithermal deposits of this nature. They know our business model to basically find silica-rich veins that can be used for smelter flux, as you said earlier. And they're very supportive of this overall business approach. So we're delighted to see them continue to step up. This placement that they've just done basically gives us a year's worth of funding for, we'll call it, mutually agreed targets between Irving and Newmont. So we kind of sit down, we look through the data, and we come up with a list of all the things we want to tackle. And this funding, this $6 million U.S., actually provides the funding for everything that Newmont would like us to spend money on. We are doing work at Omu, but we've also got the Alliance as well. So the recent news about a month and a half ago about some blake sampling we did on the Noto Peninsula, which is on the west side of Honshu, actually has turned up several very robust gold anomalies. And we've actually staked quite a bit of ground over there, so people can look back and see that it extends beyond Oumu. This is really a Japan-wide focus for both Newmont and Irving.
Yeah, so that's you're talking about the alliance you're talking about with Newmont.
Correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. So to be clear, some of the funding that Newmont has put into Irving is allocated to looking around for new opportunities across Japan. We've, for instance, consolidated several land positions in Kyushu, the southernmost island, including the Yamagano property, which is probably one of the highest quality projects in Japan. So that funding that we got for the alliance actually went towards that. And then we've also done other work, for instance, the stream sediment sampling, this BLEG sampling, mm-hmm. that's helped us identify some new targets. So again, it's not just about Oumu. It's about working in Japan collectively and identifying, you know, high quality targets in areas that could be developed into mines.
Mm-hmm. And so this Yamagata, where is that located?
Yamagano it's down in Kyushu, so it's a southernmost island.
Southern, yeah.
Yeah, and it's actually the closest mining district to Hishikari of any project on Japan. Okay, so the Hishikari mine, for people's background, is a very high-grade epithermal vein deposit. It's being mined by Sumitomo Metal Mining. It has been for almost 30 years, I believe, now, and it's produced well over, I think it's at 8 million ounces production, something like that. It's a fantastic mine. They mine the rock, and they sort it, and then they use it for smelter flux. It's not, there's no conventional mill. There's no, it's not a conventional mine. You drive past this thing, it looks like a widget factory, but it produces a very high quality silica smelter flux, and the gold is captured, gold and silver are captured when they process copper concentrates in the smelter. Mm-hmm. It's a phenomenal business model. It's very cheap production. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's a business model that's proven. It's ongoing. Is Sumitomo applying that business model now?
Absolutely, yes. There's many smelters in Japan, and Sumitomo Metal Mining are just a few of the smelter operators there. So there's probably a couple of dozen smelters that require silica flux. You know, so you're looking at a fairly major industry in Japan. And Yamagano, which is our project, is very, very similar to Hishikari. I mean, it basically looks, geophysically, it looks very similar. We're planning on doing some work there, CSAMT and so forth, later this year that will help us define drill targets, but we are hoping to find the next Hishikari.
So without having to build a mill, I would think that the potential time to get up and rolling and have some production could be shorter than if you had to build a mill after you make a decision to produce or not.
That's right. It's likely going to mean a much shorter time to permit an operation. You're basically permitting a small footprint mine, and it also means much lower capital. You don't have to capitalize a mill. You don't have to permit a tailings facility and all that. So, yes, it is a much, much better business model.
Can you talk a little bit about your plans, your exploration plans going forward this year, Quentin?
Certainly. Look, we actually are drilling right now at Oumu Center, so up at Oumu Project in Hokkaido. It's the northernmost project. We are drilling at Oumu Center. We're on our fourth hole. We delivered, I think, three holes worth of rock samples to the lab in Vancouver, so we're expecting some numbers back in a few weeks. The fourth hole should be completed here in the next week or two, and we'll deliver that to the assay lab, so we should have some news out of those. As people who follow the story probably know, Oumu Center is one of three very highly prospective targets we have at the Oumu property. We're going to start drilling up at Oumui in summer, but we are also working on bringing in a second rig. We think we've hatched a plan that allows us to bring in a second drill rig. And if we can pull this together, then it means we'll be drilling at Hokuryu as well. So we're hopeful that we're going to drill at Hokuryu, say mid-year, as well as Oumui for much of the remaining part of the year. It's really about drilling at Oumu Project. from here on. On top of that, we've got our geophysics plant at Yamagano. We've got follow-up work on some other projects. We've done some BLEG sampling and stuff we'll talk about as we get results back. We're at a bit of a handicap with COVID. You know, I'm not going to pretend. Mm-hmm. Japan has struggled. We're here recently. They're experiencing their fourth wave. But we've been working within the guidelines, the government guidelines, and we've taken all the necessary precautions to make sure our program has not been impacted. Now, that said, we have limited ability to ramp things up. You know, so for instance, looking at a second rig, we are looking within country. Mm-hmm. Because bringing Canadian drillers back and forth, you know, to Japan, as you can imagine, is not the easiest thing to do right now. Both countries are struggling. We're adapting. Let's put it that way. And I think we'll have some solutions to make sure that the program persists and we make both Omu and then Yamagano very successful.
So we might get some assays back in a few several weeks, perhaps.
That's the hope. Three holes in the lab right now, barring any. I think the labs are less congested right now than they were, say, back in November. Mm-hmm. But if we can get the numbers through, yeah, we should have some results from those first three holes. But then the fourth hole that's in progress, that'll be delivered, say, in another 2 weeks' time. So it'll probably be a few weeks after that, 3 or 4 weeks after, mm-hmm. Before we can see any numbers from that one.
Mm-hmm. And you're financed through this year, I guess, is what you're telling me.
And all the work that Newmont and Irving want to do together is fully financed. We also have cash that's allocated on our side, you know, the Irving mm-hmm. side to do work that we want to do. And we are looking at, if we can get the second rig, we might become more aggressive mm-hmm. with our own plan. So, you know, stay tuned. There's some movement underway in that department.
Yeah, obviously, I guess there's not a lot of drilling expertise there that you might have in Canada, which is why you were depending on Canadian drillers, right?
It's funny. They do have drilling companies in Japan. Mm-hmm. Most of them do geotechnical work and stuff, you know, like hot spring development and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the number of companies that do exploration work is basically zero. Sumitomo Metal Mining does all their drilling in-house. But we have an idea of how we can extract a rig and from a place and get it on site. So touch wood, we might have a solution here to bring a second rig in soon.
Well, I guess the ability to adapt to challenges is something that you're not really new to. I mean, it's nothing new for you. So
everything in mining is a challenge, Jay.
Well, isn't it? It sure seems that way. Even in good times, and we're having a better time of it now than we have, as you and I know, over the years. Some other times have been a lot more challenging, at least from a market perspective, than this one. All right. Well, anything else, Quentin, before we just keep our eyes on the news, I guess, and drill results?
Okay. I think if there's any – there is increased activity in Japan. You can see other juniors have shown up here recently. We're the first – one of the first in the door here. So we've got, I think, the best projects in Japan. We've got strong support, Newmont and Sumitomo Corporation, both very supportive and shareholders of the company. This is how you operate in Japan. We're doing everything right. Requires a little patience right mm-hmm. now due to COVID, but beyond that, it's all systems go.
Wonderful. All right. Well, thank you, Quentin, for updating us on Irving. It's certainly one that I own shares in. It's in my newsletter. One, I think, with some patience, the patience will be rewarded. So at least that's my hope and my belief. So thank you very much for being with us, and we'll look to have you back again sometime for another update. Hopefully
thank
with some drill, some drill results, some good
all
ones.
Right.
You'll promise us some good ones. Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Jay.
All right, folks. Well, that is it for this segment. We'll be right back with John Williams. He is going to tell us why inflation is not transitory. We'll be right back with John Williams, so don't go away.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Voice America programs are now available on your favorite connected device. including Amazon, Alexa, and Google Home. Through streams with Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio, listening to your favorite show is as easy as saying the show name followed by the word podcast.
Hey, Alexa, play Finding Your Frequency podcast.
If that doesn't work, try adding on TuneIn or on iHeartRadio or on Apple Podcasts.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.